is risen. Oh, let's do that again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let's stand as you're able and we'll sing a great song of resurrection.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Alleluia. Once he died and souls to save. Alleluia. Where's thy victory, O grave?
Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise. Alleluia.
Yeah.
So we now where Christ has led. Alleluia.
Great God of resurrection love, we praise you for the joy of this day, the empty tomb, the resurrection of Jesus, and the hope we have through our faith in him. We pray that today we will hear good news. We pray that in our worship we will see Jesus, know his presence with us, and find encouragement to live with a founded hope of a life to come, a life lived with Jesus, full of courage and compassion, equipping us to serve and confident that the Holy Spirit will guide us daily. In the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. And with our hearts filled with praise, let's sing again.
Came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living Word of light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and life. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him.
Our conquering King and friend.
praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship his King. 'Cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, from the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, I'm all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Spread the good news o'er all the earth. Jesus has died and has risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Sing to our Savior.
So welcome, and before you sit, look around at the body of Christ, or some of it, the people of the resurrection. That's us. Look people in the eye. Welcome them here this morning and offer them a blessing. The Lord be with you. I have a question. Did anyone see a rainbow yesterday or today? I saw one this morning on the way to church. In Genesis chapter 9, God said, I have set my rainbow in the clouds and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. And so God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. It's obvious that the rainbow is a very ancient sign of hope and of God's love for humanity. And like an empty cross, reminds us that there is that Jesus is alive. Our rainbow banner this morning is a sign not only of the covenant between God and all life on earth after the flood, it's also a sign of the promised new life, the new life that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus. It's a sign of the relationship we have with him. And we also have a lighted candle, which is not burning terribly brightly, but it's there. And that reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world here with us. Now, many of you in the notices will have already received them in your email. But if you've been a bit sluggish over Easter and haven't yet opened the email, then take note of a couple of things. First, there's no Friday Friends this month because the last Friday in April, next Friday, is Anzac Day. So I'm sure we'll have things that we will be able to do to celebrate or remember that. So there's no Friday Friends this month. We're back again in May. The second thing is that next Sunday will be a less formal and more relaxed cafe church format service. So bring a small plate of morning tea to share. This is also Malcolm's last Sunday with us for the time being. So it will be a chance for us to express to Malcolm the appreciation we have for his ministry over the last 5 months or so. And you might like to think about what Malcolm's ministry has meant to you before you get here next Sunday. And for other notices, find a copy of this week's Grapevine out in the porch or foyer or when you get home and read it.
Or else. Do it or else.
They can do it or not.
Yes.
Not or else. During the next song, our offerings will be brought forward. And I invite you to remain seated as we begin, and then I'll tell you when to stand as you're able during the last chorus or so.
Father, though your gift is small, The gifts we bring are all symbols of love and faith, the grace and mercy of God. But the symbols of the rainbow that to which Ian has already referred, and the beautiful banner up here, are all symbolic of endless expressions of our faith. And they express the wonderful promises of hope that Easter is for us all. Let us give thanks. We bring all of these things, gracious God, gifts of money, gifts of food, gifts expressing through art faith, love, hope, and the mercy of God. May all of these gifts be used in your name to your glory and to bring change, resurrection to people's lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our intercession this morning is a prayer of thanksgiving and prayer for ourselves. And the words primarily come from Paul's letter to the Philippians and Paul's letter to the Colossians. Now, we all know when I say Christ is risen, but there's another. Christ is present with me and in me. And your response is, he is present indeed. Christ is present with me and in me. He is present indeed. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this morning for all that is ours, in, by, and through you, because of your life, death, resurrection, and ascension. May we always be encouraged that we are united with you. May we always take comfort from your love. In our common sharing in the Spirit, may we be people of great tenderness and compassion towards all with whom we have contact. As your people here at the Vines, Lord, in doing that which you have called us to, may we reach out in your love, one in mind and spirit, and may we do so selflessly and humbly. May we always value others above ourselves, looking to their interests and not our own. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that in our relationships with one another, we are enabled and empowered by your mindset. Please help us to serve one another and all those we seek to serve and reach by following your example, Lord, of what it is to be a servant. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that we are free to worship you and acknowledge you as Lord. May our lives be lives that worship you daily in thought, word, and deed. Thank you that you are at work in our lives, that you are fulfilling your purposes in us. Invite you to hold up to the Lord now whoever might be on your mind that is particularly in need of the Lord's love, presence, forgiveness, comfort, healing at this time. Father God, thank you for the life you have given us, for all the blessings we've received at your hand. Especially, thank you for your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Please continue to fill us with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Help us to live lives worthy of you. Lives that are pleasing to you and that bear fruit in all that we do. Please strengthen us, Lord, according to your glorious might. May we have great endurance and patience in all circumstances, giving joyful thanks to you, our Father, for the inheritance that is ours in your kingdom of light. Thank you that you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son you love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In all these things, we give you thanks, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to continue with an attitude of prayer as we sing the next song. It speaks of let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. And we'll remain seated while we sing this.
Jesus, oh Jesus. Good morning, everybody, and happy Easter. The Bible reading for today is from Luke 24, 1 to 12, verse 1 to 12, the resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb. Taking the spices they had prepared, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. Returning to the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them, who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to be an idle tale. They did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
On my notes this morning, I intended asking you the question, which is almost irrelevant considering the artwork we've got here in church this morning. The question is, to you, what colour is resurrection? All of them. All of them. And yes, we have all the colours of the rainbow, but in that exceptional quilting work, all the colours and various shades are there too, aren't they? I think I can tell you that's Karen and Ian's work. It's more him than her.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was more her than him.
Oh. Not on this occasion.
Well, there you are. Congratulations. It was wonderful.
It still is.
It still is, yes. That's right. We still have one of the terrible twins here this morning, and I'm not let off the hook, am I?
I'll try and say nothing.
I bet. You know that poem, don't you, about a country of all sorts of colours, of red ranges and floods, and that country, our country, is a mass of contradictory but complementary colours at the moment. I don't know whether any of you have picked it up, but I saw a photo during the week of the Simpson Desert. Now, if you've never been to the Simpson Desert, or you've never had a chance to look at it, it's just red sand upon red sand upon red sand. And the photo that I saw was of green rolling hills upon green rolling hills with some wheel tracks cutting through the green. And colour brings out for us a whole lot of emotions. And if I said to you, well, I'm just going to give you a quarter of an hour, not long, to sit and meditate on the colours in our church today and to reflect on what those colours are saying to you about resurrection and about your life, Because you see, the resurrection is just not the resurrection of Jesus, it's the gift of resurrection to the people of God, that we may practice it and share it in our everyday lives. And so there are lots of emotions and feelings. And on the morning of the resurrection, wow, weren't there some contradictory feelings? Disbelief, grief, emptiness. And the main message, he is risen. He has been raised. God has raised him from the dead. Now, in Mark's story of the resurrection, and there are all sorts of different shades of story told by the different gospel writers, Mark says that the message is given to the people at the tomb, go and tell the disciples that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And within that statement are these words, go and tell the disciples, including Peter. Why, I wonder, were those words there, including Peter? Because? Peter's denial, yes. I don't know him. Just leave me alone. I was reading a commentary on this passage from Mark during the week, and it said that Peter, who denied knowing Jesus, is virtually told in these words, Peter, you've stuffed up, but you're still part of the team. You've made a mess of things, but you're not on the sidelines. You are still an important part of the team. It's as if here we have another great commission. Now, when we say to people, what is the great commission? Where does it come from? Can anyone tell me? The great commission comes from Matthew 28. Go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And remember that I'm with you always. Here in Mark is another commission. Go to Galilee. Tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and tell Peter too, because he's an important member of all that we do. Why go to Galilee? Well, it was Jesus' home. This is the place of ministry, Galilee. The Galileans were despised by other Jews. They were considered, one commentator tells me, they were considered to be hayseeds. Do you all know what a hayseed is? Well, that's what I've got written here. Yes, a hayseed or a country bumpkin. They were lesser people. And they were people who were had compromised themselves by being too close to and too involved with the Gentiles. The people from the wrong side of the tracks, to use a modern term. The Galileans weren't quite pure enough. They weren't seen as quite righteous enough. They were too close to the brokenness of the world. And if we take that statement seriously, that we are too close to the brokenness of the world, what does the vines have to do? What was that?
Get closer.
Get closer. I thought we'd have to shut down the pantry. If we took seriously that criticism, we could either shut down the pantry or do, as you've said, get closer still. Become more involved. Go more out onto the edges. Go closer to the brokenness of the world in which we live. You might think that David and I only read one author. I have a very old, very worn little book, the first of Henry Nguyen's books that I read, called The Wounded Healer. I've had it a long time because it only cost $4.95 when I bought it. And in The Wounded Healer, Henry Nguyen is saying, it is through the wounds of Christ, it is through the suffering of Christ, that healing comes to us, but even more. It sounds like a TV commercial, doesn't it? Yet there's more. The theme of this book is that as you and I, as ministers in the name of Jesus Christ, come in and through our brokenness and the healing that we're offered in Christ, that we fulfill ministry. There has been a misconception around for many, many generations that if a person is a minister, that person is perfect. Now, you weren't supposed to laugh. You're allowed to, yes. We got 3 ministers' wives here this morning. Any more? They know, don't they? What a pest we can be. We are not examples of perfection, but we are supposed to reflect the perfection of Christ and to promote it in our imperfection. And Nguyen says that we need to acknowledge our wounds and make our wounds available as a source of healing. We are called to be people who have received the gift of resurrection and offer the gift of healing that comes through resurrection. I talked about the colours of Australia earlier on. When Judy and I were trekking our way, zigzagging all over the top end of the Northern Territory, there were times in the dry season where we had to change our direction somewhat because of the fires. Most of them were deliberately lit on the cattle stations to burn the high grass. In the wet season, the grass gets very high. And we have a photo of our Toyota troop carrier with a very high aerial on the front that I backed into the grass. And the grass was higher than the radio aerial. When that dries, it explodes. It explodes in flames. And if you come across that on the road, it's a bit of a terrifying experience. As you approach the fire, you come across flocks of birds, kites, sweeping in and out of the edge of the fire, feeding on the fleeing insects. And then it gets so dangerous that you've just got to turn and drive away and go somewhere else. It's just not possible to proceed. The country is left blackened and burnt. All that high grass is gone. It's bare earth, stumps burnt off, trees blackened, and they stay like that for a long time, right through to the end of the dry season. And one morning, and some of you who have lived in the tropics will know this, one morning, late in the year, you wake up and things feel different. Someone's flicked a switch and there's a heavy dew. It's quite cool. The air is moist. And those heavy dews become a regular thing. And as we were driving around the bush through a lot of this blackened country, we would see shoots of grass. We would see buds breaking out of the native trees. We would see little shoots coming up of the ground, out of the ground, where young saplings were burnt off at ground level. And it wouldn't be very long because before we were driving through country of lush green grass and beautiful trees loaded with shoots. Now, having been a South Australian for most of my life and been through a bushfire, I know what it's like to go out and see the stringy bark scrub that was burnt, blackened and raw a month ago, sprouting with green leaves. You may have seen that. It's not just the resurrection of Jesus as a singular event. It's about the gift of resurrection, which is a part of the world in which we live. And are we prepared to go closer and closer to the burnt people and the broken people, the alone people, and offer to them hope and opportunity, and offer them another chance? To celebrate resurrection with people in places where it really hurts. In 1976, we took our family to Fiji. A friend of ours was on mission service in Fiji, and we went, stayed with them, and then travelled around and did lots of things. If any of you have ever been to Fiji, you may have gone to the island of Ovalau. It's a small island off the east coast of the main island of Viti Levu. And we stayed there in a guest house, and we went to church, which was just down the hill or down the stairs from the guest house where we stayed. It was a traditional Methodist church. And we arrived. It was fairly obvious that we weren't Fijians. And they had a little choir. And at the start of the service, as in every Fijian church we attended, the choir would stand up. The choir mistress or choir master would stand up in front and go like that. And the choir burst into six-part harmony and sent down our spines. And when we came out of church, one of the elders walked up to me and said, "Are you a minister?" I don't know whether we smell. "Are you a minister?" And Judy said, "No." You've done that too, Karen. Yes. But anyway, would you preach at our service tonight? We would love to have a guest preacher. So I preached that night with bruised ribs. And after worship, we went back up the stairs, up the hill, to our guest house. And we were sitting there when there was a knock at the door, and the host at the guest house came in and said, "Are you Minister Malcolm?" "Yes." And it was one of the members of the congregation. And his name was Teddy Taylor, but he used to is a compromise to the Fijian language, he called himself Dedi Dela. But Teddy came in and he said, would you come and visit a lady with me, please? I went to visit a lady after church and I was talking to her about what you were saying in your sermon. I can't remember what I said in that sermon. It's too long ago. But he said, I've been to visit her and she would like a visit from you. Would you come? So I went. And I went to her house, a very simple house with a thatched roof. And we sat down and talked. And she shared her brokenness. One of her sons was an alcoholic and lived with her. The other son had just been released from prison, and he had come to live with her as well, and she was not coping at all. And when Teddy came to visit her, she shared with him that she was so desperate, so broken, so hurt, feeling so alone and so powerless that she was waiting for her sons to go to sleep so she could burn the house down and kill them and she would be free. I don't know whether any of you have ever been in a situation anywhere near that desperate. And so we sat and talked. And we sat and we talked. And she just poured out all this stuff. She wasn't venomous about her sons. She was so broken she could not see the possibility of any of those pieces ever being put back together again. Anyway, she was sitting on a chair, Teddy was sitting on a chair, as was I. And she called out to her sons to see whether they would come and meet me and share together, and they refused. So the three of us sat in our chairs, and the floor was covered by a woven pandanus mat. You're familiar with them, especially if you've been to the Pacific Islands. And the three of us started, well, Teddy and I did. The lady, she was in such a mess that prayer was beyond her, spoken prayer. And we prayed. And then I heard a sound. It was the sound of bare feet on a pandanus mat. And then I sensed somebody sitting down on the mat. And we went on praying. And then I heard another set of feet on a pandanus mat. And the shuffling of some sitting down. In the end, I met those two sons. And we talked together. And Teddy talked with them. And Teddy promised that he would always be available to them. And if they ever felt that things were running off the rails, to please come and speak with him. Because he was going to be there for them, whatever it took and whatever time it took. I was in no position to find out whatever happened to that family. But it was one of the best examples I've ever experienced in my life of what the gift of resurrection is all about. Of being asked to preach and then being asked to visit a home where a mother was so desperate she was on the brink of committing murder. I can't think of anything more broken than that. In the gift of resurrection, it's the rising from death, of course. It's the recovery from dysfunction. It's the healing of alienation. It's the overcoming of abuse. It's a resurgence, a rebirth, a recovery from the devastation of war or famine or divorce or disease or unemployment or any one of a million other situations in which people find themselves. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he talks about the gifts. Not only the gifts of the Spirit, but they are the gifts of resurrection. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. And those gifts are given to us to practice, to use, to take, to offer, to develop in other people. And as we do that, we exercise or we practice the gift of resurrection in the lives of people that we meet. You see, ministry is not necessarily a huge spiritual experience, although it includes it. Ministry is meant to be quite practical. It calls us to sit down with people. I never ever thought I would spend so much ministry time sitting in the dirt as I did when I was working with Aboriginal people. I never ever imagined how much runny cow whatever would be sprayed all over me while I was talking to ringers down in the cattle yards in ministry. I never imagined when I trained for ministry the strange places in which I would be placed to celebrate resurrection. I'm not alone. You know what I'm talking about. Because what I share with you has similarities with what you experience. We sing the song, I am the light of the world. Why can't we sing, I'm the colour of the world? I am the bearer of resurrection for the world. And I offer my healed wounds, to use the words of Henry Nguyen, I offer my healed wounds in faith to bring healing to another person. Go to Galilee, the place of ministry, where there are broken people. Tell others to go with you and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Arisen Christ, sweep us up in the gift of resurrection, the gift of love, of patience, of tolerance, and the gift not of not being shocked into inactivity by the brokenness we face. May we be the people of love and resurrection. And may we meet the broken and offer them wholeness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like prayer after the service, come down to the front somewhere, whatever counts as the front, and someone will be there and pray with you to share your brokenness with their brokenness, with the risen Christ. If you've been watching online, then maybe you want to relive this and watch it again. Or we can come back next week and do it all again, sort of. Let's sing, stand and sing together. Six-part harmony.
Close.
We went to an ordination service in the big church, Methodist church in Suva, and the place was packed. And they had about 50 or 60 people in the choir. And when they burst into six-part harmony, unaccompanied, it was a sound like no other you have ever heard. But you did pretty well on that chorus. He lives. He is risen. Go in peace, and the peace of the Lord be with you.
He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along.